One, two, three, Tucson. That counts us into the Creative City Show today here on 1030 The Voice. Welcome in. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Every day, Monday through Friday at our new time of 9 to 10 in the morning, we share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, we debate, we discuss the issues and themes critical towards getting us to that best possible future. My guest in studio right now, introduce her in a minute, said that she is excited about Tucson. The process she is going through right now in the city excites her. And so I think she and I will share the thought that our future is closer around the corner than we know, and our potential is greater than we give ourselves credit for if we have the right conversations and make the right decisions in the next few years. All of that, as you know, Tucson and regional listening audience drives this show. So I'm excited to kick today off with one of a few men and women who I think are really obviously in the weeds right now, thinking a lot about people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. I have Democratic candidate for City Council Ward 4, Nikki Lee, in studio to kick us off. And then at the bottom of the hour, Leah Marquez Peterson will come in with an Arizona Corporation Commission update. So a full show. I also have in my hand, can you hear that in the mic? I don't think you can. I'm waving two tickets to the UVA versus NAU football game. I'm conducting in studio, and Nikki Lee is doing kind of like a band thing. I don't know.
I don't know what I would call that either.
It made sense to me. But here's the catch, Tucson. You got to listen to the whole show. Not that you wouldn't anyway, because we have Nikki Lee and Leah Marquez Peterson in studio. But if you get through the end of the hour, the last segment for about 9:45 on, somewhere in there, I will be opening up our phone lines to give away two tickets to the first caller. When I say go in the last segment, we'll get those tickets. So stick around. Nikki Lee, we don't have much time together, so let's get into it. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me on the show, Zach. I'm excited to whoever wins those tickets. It's going to be a great game. So
it is going to, well, especially because I think we have a good shot at winning it.
I agree.
The Hawaii game made me a little less hopeful, but we should be able to take care of NAU.
I hope so.
A little bit of salve on the wound, maybe. good things take time. This conversation took a little bit of time. Let's get into it. Nikki Lee for Tucson City Council over in Ward 4. What are your priorities for the city at large? And what would you say is the one big thing impacting your ward that you'd like to work on should you be elected in November?
Yeah. Well, again, thank you, Zach, for having me on the show today. I'm a big fan of the work that you're doing, the conversations you're having, and what everyone's talking about on 10:30 a.m. It's great, great radio. I'm, again, Nikki Lee, running for Ward 4 City Council. I've been here in Tucson now for 16 years. I got stationed here 16 years ago with the Air Force and have lived out in Ward 4 for the past 8 years. So I've been around for a lot of the growth. A lot of the growing pains that we've experienced, and I see a lot more growth that's going to be happening definitely over the next decade, 20 years even. There's some big plans that are circulating around growth and a lot of stuff that's going to be happening in Ward 4 specifically. But overall, really, my platform is focused on stronger Tucson, smarter Tucson, and more sustainable Tucson. So that's strong pillar of my campaign is all about our core services. It's all about public safety, our parks, and our infrastructure, our roads. That's really core to what we're supposed to be focused on. So some of the things that I hear often when I'm on the doors and talking to people out in Ward 4, because we are on the edge of town, is around public safety, around making sure that we have the resources, we have the officers and first responders are equipped with the resources that they need to be successful and being able to respond in a timely manner. So that's something that's very important to us as a city. It's important to people in Ward 4 because we are on the edge of town, and sometimes it can take a little longer for people to be able to show up when they need help. So that's a big issue for us. Roads are always a big thing for us across the city. Out in Ward 4, with all the growth that's happening, we've been under road construction pretty much the whole time that I've lived in Ward 4 for the past 8 years. So I am a nerd and I love road construction because it's progress. It's growing pains.
Thank you.
Right? It's painful.
Nikki Lee, can I interrupt you? I had either a caller or a conversation say, you know, roads and infrastructure just aren't sexy. And I said, tell that to people living in Tucson, because I think I think that's bringing sexy back.
I agree.
I think people want to talk about the wonky, nerdy, gritty, nitty details of infrastructure and cops.
Yeah.
A lot of people in town right now don't think it's a sexy topic. I'm with you, Nikki.
I think people want to talk about it. Sexy.
Yeah.
They are. They really
people
are.
People want to talk about it. It's important.
Yeah.
I'm being very serious.
Yeah.
I think this is the topic that people want to talk about that isn't being talked about.
No, it's very important because in order for us to thrive as a community, we have to make sure, you know, our basic needs are met and that we're in line with what we need to be doing as a city council, and we're taking care of people's problems. We're making sure that people are enabled to be successful in other areas of their life by making sure the basic things are covered, that they don't rip up their tires while they're trying to drive to work and, you know, have to take on expenses for that. And making sure that we have parks accessible that are available for birthday parties. I mean, there's a lot of different things that we need to be focused on.
Yeah. So I interrupted you. I'm sorry. You had three pillars. I think you got through one, maybe?
I got through one, kind of. But okay. But within that strong pillar, in addition to our core services, which is really foundational, I'm a pretty big business and technology nerd, and I want to make sure that we're supporting our businesses, small, medium, and large. I'm a daughter of an entrepreneur, so I know how difficult it can be to start a business. And I want to make sure that the interactions that our business community have with the city are as efficient as possible, as streamlined as possible, because there's so many other things that people have to worry about when they're starting a business, that I want to make that interaction that they have as positive as possible so they can get back on their way of creating jobs and, living the American dream of owning and operating a business. So that to me falls underneath the strong pillar.
Love it.
Because they're creating jobs, they're creating opportunities for people. The smarter really is about leveraging technology as we're moving into, you know, a different world from a technological standpoint.
Yes.
So being from that space, being a business technology professional for the past 20 years, that's really a strength that I'm going to bring to city council. And I think a really important voice and perspective that will add a lot of value to the city of Tucson.
Completely.
That's my hope.
Incredibly exciting. Before we get to our caller on the line, Bob, I found out something today and I'm pretty excited about it. I don't know why I hadn't thought about it before, because I knew Nikki was a young professional looking to run for city council. But both in Ward 1, I think regardless of the result, and in Ward 4, 2/7 of our Tucson city council in November could very well be millennial. Nikki,
oh,
Nikki,
God help us.
Oh.
Well, I just listened to
she's too young to be a millennial, so who are you talking about?
Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, you are.
I am.
You are a millennial.
I am. I'm a grandma millennial. I was born right at the beginning of the 80s, so I'm a grandma millennial, but I'm still here to represent our generation.
But it's interesting to hear from a millennial perspective talking about tech and infrastructure and smart cities and innovation and technology of the future. I think you get those conversations when you have a younger voice at the table, but it's not like you're an inexperienced younger voice. You have a lot of experience under your belt, it sounds like. We have a break in about a minute, but I have Chris on the live line with a question for Nikki. Chris, go for it. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, Nikki. Good morning, Zach. How are you today?
Doing well.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. The question for you, Nikki, is being one of the 7 votes on the city council, how are you going to leverage your position to overcome the systemic disdain for public safety?
Yeah.
Chris, I appreciate your question. Nikki, you sound like a public safety advocate, but a 30-second answer for Chris.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's definitely part of our core services for sure. So we need to make sure at the end of the day, it's about results. It's about people feeling safe. I was out canvassing a couple weeks ago and knocked on a door of he must have just turned 18 years old, young guy. And he was just thrilled to see a candidate there. And I asked him after I kind of introduced myself, what are the most important things to you? And he said flat out, I want to feel safe. And that really took me back because that's fundamental, foundational. So I'm going to advocate that people in our city feel safe and continue to push for that. It's critical.
This is why I said, and I really wasn't being funny, you know, these core services are sexier of a topic than a lot of people want to give them credit for.
For sure.
Right? Because you think there's a certain demographic that want to feel safe and have good roads. It's everybody.
Every human.
And we were talking about brain drain and that issue. And we'll get into it, I think, when we get back from the break, Nikki. But a huge part of that is safety and infrastructure. Whether you're 18 or 80, this matters.
Absolutely.
And it needs the airtime it deserves.
For sure.
Nikki Lee, I've enjoyed our first 10 minutes already. Let's geek out in the second segment. I want to get into your ideas on budgeting for this stuff, workforce development, smart cities, talent retention. We're going to cover all of it. Nikki Lee running for Ward 4 as a Democrat for Tucson City Council. We'll be right back. Tucson, welcome back to the program. This is the Creative City Show with your host, Zach Yenser. We talk about people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. We get a little bit wonky, nerdy, nitty gritty. We talk about the basics and the big ideas of what it takes to be a 21st century city where people can thrive, where young professionals can stay, and we have a community where we want to and can live and thrive. We do all that here Monday through Friday, 9 to 10. Quick plug, because I want to keep reminding folks, besides the great conversation that we are going to have today in this hour, I also have two U of A versus NAU football tickets that I will be giving away in the last segment, two of them to the first caller when I say go sometime in the fourth segment, because you need to listen to the whole show. And now you have many reasons to do so. Nikki can't have these. My guest in studio, Nikki Lee, Ward 4 Democratic candidate for city council. I can't have them. Bob can't have them. You get to have them. Somebody is going to get two tickets to what will be a resounding win for our U of A Wildcats. Going out on a limb, making that prediction today. Nikki Lee, part two. Glad you're here.
Yes. Thanks again, Zach.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about Christy Simone, who you just met on the way out, used a metaphor a couple weeks ago. It stuck with me. And so I use it, but I give him credit. He says, in Tucson, we talk a lot about the sprinkles. We don't talk about the ice cream in the cone. And the sprinkles are only great when you got the ice cream in the cone. Of course, he's talking, and a lot of us on this station talk about the core services, right? You get roads, cops, safety, parks right, jobs. You get those things right. The arts thrive, culture thrives, you know, environmentalism thrives. All these things thrive when the core is working. Nobody has sat in your chair and said, Zach, we don't need more cops. We're doing just fine. Everybody thinks we need more public safety. We need our roads repaired. Everybody sees the problem. When you look at the Tucson city budget, when you're, you know, drafting your policy plans, should you in November be able to step into that Ward 4 seat, how is Nikki Lee going to make it happen? How do we make it happen with our current resources?
Yeah, well, I think that's a great analogy. And when I heard you guys talk about that, that stuck with me as well, because it's just a really good analogy of explaining what we need to be focusing on. So, you know, for me, as a root cause analysis type person, I look at the current budget. I don't see a ton of areas to trim. I think things have been trimmed down. Looks like as much as they probably can be for where we're at right now. So that means, just like if it's your personal budget, if you've cut your expenses, you want to focus on bringing in more revenue if you need to be able to expand the things that you need to be able to afford. So for me, that looks like using my business acumen and expertise to help support our businesses, to help our entrepreneurs thrive in this community. It's very difficult to start a business. And even after you've started your business, businesses have different phases they go through and different challenges at each phase. So I want to make sure that we as a city are doing everything we can do to create the conditions for our businesses and entrepreneurs to thrive. That to me is going to help bring in more revenue into the city. And it's kind of a, you know, seems like a chicken or the egg situation. But I think for me, that's the expertise and value that I can bring to the situation to help us support our businesses, attract the right types of businesses to Tucson so that we can keep people here, keep people earning money, spending money, living here, and thriving.
Which would also seem to be the solution, maybe it's longer term at this point, to police and fire as well. Is it 101, I believe, if I got the number right? And we're about 3 years into 101, which was a sales tax, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. That increased funding, capital funding for police and fire and roads to some extent, I believe. That runs out in a couple years, I think. And a lot of other ward candidates, not in Ward 4, have supported renewing that maybe not renew it for capital, but renewing it. Is that sustainable long term? Does this stuff need to come out of the general fund, or is it okay to keep bonding and sales taxing this stuff out in cycles? What does Nikki Lee think about that?
I would like to get to the point where we don't have to go back out to people to do this. We have a lot of catching up to do. I have somewhere in my pile of notes the how many millions of dollars it would take to get all of our roads up to good condition across the city, and it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars. We have a lot of catching up to do. I would love to in the future be at the position where we have enough coming in revenue wise that we can do all the projects that we want to do. We can make sure that our officers have all the resources they need without having to go there. So for now, we'll have to see what things look like a couple years down the road. But that's where I would love to get, where we just have such a strong, robust economy that we're handling it out of the general fund.
It sounds like Nikki Lee wants to at least be a member on the council that is seen as business friendly, appropriately. A little bit of rapid fire, just because our time is going so quickly. What does business friendly mean to you, Nikki Lee?
You know, I spend a lot of time listening to small businesses, listening to some of the challenges, the opportunities that we have to improve their interactions with the city. I think that when we're trying to grow businesses and grow our economy, again, it's about looking at our processes and figuring out how we can make them as streamlined as possible, as easy for the user. I'm coming from a software background, but making sure our user experience from the time they enter a conversation with the city to the time they leave, how can we make that as streamlined as possible, as positive as possible, get them in and out? Mm-hmm. I was told when I was talking to some people on doors about a company that had grown and had to move buildings within the city of Tucson because they had grown, you know, larger than their current space. And just the process and the amount of time that it took was a deterrent. Possibly that person could have said, well, I'm just going to take this up to Phoenix because I could have this done in 6 months instead of a year and a half. So I think just looking at how we're engaging with the business community, mm-hmm. one of the first things I want to do in Ward 4 is get our arms around all the businesses that are operating, from, you know, entrepreneurs to larger businesses in Ward 4, and just proactively reach out to those individuals, to those businesses, and say, hey, we're here. Here's what we can do if you're having problems, and just be kind of a liaison. Because, like I said, I know what it's like to try to start a business and operate a business, and it's tough. So I think just having an awareness that we're here, that we care, and that we want to support business, I think is a huge part of it.
I mentioned at the end of the last segment that you and Lane Santa Cruz, and even Sam Nagy, if he were to win over there in Ward 1, I believe he's what we call a millennial, and I'm air quoting. As a younger professional running for office, our generation, you've struggled with this as well. It still doesn't see the opportunity yet, sometimes in Tucson, to stick around. How do we encourage our young families and our young people to stay in Tucson?
Yeah, well, for me, you know, I got stationed here at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base 16 years ago. And when it was time to get out, the Air Force will say, we'll send you wherever you want to go. We'll pay to go back to your home of record, or you can stay. And there was no place that I wanted to be besides here. I knew that I wanted to be here. I spent many years commuting down to Fort Huachuca, to Sierra Vista, working for companies that were based elsewhere, working from home, because it was a real struggle. Someone that had military experience, had a clearance, was a veteran, and it was tough. So I know how difficult it can be. I think we're making great strides. I've seen a lot of the articles around tech and how much job growth we have there. But not every job that people are going to want to do is in tech. You know, right. We need to make sure that our skilled labor opportunities are available. There's some great apprenticeship programs. So to me, it's about educating young people to know about the breadth of opportunities that are there, making sure that they have access to that information, you know, the different branches of service people could go into, the different, you know, tracks, career tracks that are available to enable people to be successful after they graduate high school, graduate college, if that's their choice. And just be supportive in that capacity.
You know, you bring something up that ties to my last question, and I'm really thankful how much we can cram in here.
The efficiency.
You're being specific but not verbose, so I appreciate that. Nikki Lee, Democratic candidate for Ward 4 here in the city. You know, we talk a lot about the mayor's bully pulpit. I feel like there's really seven bully pulpits, if you think about it, where there are seven people who really have the opportunity to message the right message, to forward the right brand, to be connected to the community. And you talked about messaging. Another area where I think there can be a lot of messaging, movement, momentum, narrative, branding is a tech smart, innovative city. 21st century city. Is that a piece of the bully pulpit that you would have as a ward for city council member? What's your excitement for Tucson as having that potential?
You know, I always talk about wanting to be an ambassador for Tucson, to the business community, to the millennial population, to the tech industry. I'm already out there professionally having these conversations,
correct,
meeting with different companies. So it only makes sense for them to see someone that represents their interests, that looks like them, you know, tech or business or millennial, and know that there's a friendliness there. So I absolutely intend to use this as a platform to be an ambassador for our city, to advocate for our city, to try to get the right types of companies here, to support the growth of our current companies here. So that's absolutely something that I feel I'm uniquely positioned to do for our city, not just in my race, but just across what the dynamic of the current city council or the future city council could possibly look like.
Nikki Lee, that about takes us to time. Thank you so much for being in studio. Policy and politics tends to be, an older person's sport. And this is me editorializing Nikki Lee. This is not Nikki's opinion, nor does it have to be. But I think there's an intergenerational desire to see younger voices that have the skill and the ability step into these areas. I heard that from a listener yesterday. Zach, you know, I'm inspired by the young people you talk to and by the ideas that you have. We need younger people stepping into these positions. And how interesting is it that you are doing that? And whether someone agrees or disagrees with you, you're thoughtful, you're smart, you care about Tucson, and you're stepping up. And so on behalf of the community, I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. It's an honor to do this.
Where can people go find you and learn more?
Yeah, we're just at Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, for Tucson.com.
Nikki for Tucson.com. We'll schedule another one. We'll do this again before November.
Let's do it.
Nikki Lee, thanks so much. Tucson, when we come back, we'll get an Arizona Corporation Commission update from Leah Marquez Peterson, the only Southern Arizona representative on the commission. Some big news, some potential good regulation that will keep people safe during really hot and really cold times. We'll get an update on that after the break. Don't go away, Tucson. Come on right back. Tucson, welcome back. You are on the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice with me, your host, Zach Yenser. We're talking to people and about ideas shaping Tucson's future. But maybe the most important matter of the day is that sometime probably around the middle-ish of the fourth segment here, which is generally about 9:45 on, I will say go. I will literally say go. And the first caller will get two tickets to the Arizona Wildcats game versus NAU this weekend at Arizona Stadium. I can't have the tickets. I'm not legally allowed to have them. Bob can't. My guest in studio, Leah Marquez Peterson, can't even get to them. Somebody listening is going to get those tickets. So listen through the end of the hour, and I look forward to giving those away. And I just gave away who's here in studio. Leah Marquez Peterson, the only Southern Arizona representative on the Arizona Corporation Commission, is here in studio.
Yeah,
welcome
thanks
back.
For having me, Zach. And actually, I'm the only Southern Arizonan serving in any statewide role. So it really is an honor to represent our region, our community, kind of rural counties at the state.
That's amazing for you, but it's kind of sad.
It
news.
Is very sad. I know.
Congratulations,
thank
Leah.
Thank you.
And boo.
I know. And it's interesting, Zach, and I know we were talking off air about this, but people congratulate me on one hand, but also don't understand what is the Arizona Corporation Commission.
Right.
So if you indulge me for 30 seconds, I'll give a little elevator.
We have time.
Piece.
Let's do it.
So the Arizona Corporation Commission is a very important seat in that we regulate all of the utilities. So I think people take it for granted when they flip the switch, electricity is going to work, or shower. They turn the faucet on. Water, clean, safe water is going to come out. But we regulate those industries. So if you didn't know, there are more than 300 private water companies throughout the state that we're regulating, as well as electricity, gas, wastewater. And interestingly, we are called the Arizona Corporation Commission. We do handle all the business and corporations in the state of Arizona. So with my background, having run the largest chamber of commerce in Southern Arizona, the Tucson Hispanic Chamber, for many years, I'm very interested in how we streamline and make it easier to do business in Arizona. So that's another area that we focus, that I'm doing a lot of work in.
So I want to ask you a follow-up on that, Leah Marquez Peterson. From a business perspective, we're going to talk about the disconnect, some of the disconnect policies that are being developed as we speak.
Right.
We'll get into some of the energy side and utility side of things. But from a business perspective, what is the one thing that you are either working on or you'd like to work on to streamline establishing business in Southern Arizona and in Arizona as a whole through your role as a commissioner on the ACC?
Well, I'll start with stories of having been a Chamber of Commerce president. I've met with thousands of small business owners, many of them startup. And as they would sit in front of me at the chamber office, many of them said, you know, either they didn't have the funds to hire an attorney, or they were online trying to figure out how to incorporate. How do I get my domain name, my trade name, my tax license, my City of Tucson license, and so on. And it's very complex. So I think what I'm coming to this position as, with my prior business experience and having run a chamber, is we need to do all we can to streamline. We absolutely in this state support entrepreneurship and innovation. Certainly here in Southern Arizona, we see so much of that. We want to make sure that it's easy to do business, and we're recruiting businesses into the state who can get incorporated easily. In the terms of the Arizona Corporation Commission right now, if you go to our homepage, azcc.gov, you can see where we've got information there on click here to start the process. We're working on expediting those incorporation documents. We have an office here in Tucson as well as in Phoenix. So if you're here in Southern Arizona, you can go to the Tucson office for assistance. But I also, because I office out of the Tucson office and the one in Phoenix, I hear questions about, well, what do I do next? And then where do I go? Oh, different office. And this, I think as a state, we could do more to streamline, create a web portal so that people can go to one place. And there's some attempts at that now, and I want to get as engaged as possible to provide my real life experience and what I've done to get incorporated and licensed in the past, so that we can make sure that everybody's in compliance and it's not costing, you know, incredible amount of money for small businesses to get established.
Real quick question before we get into at least one or two of the topics that we talked about beforehand. You are the only Southern Arizona representative on the commission. Are there? This is probably obvious to a lot of listeners, but I want to get into detail a little bit. Are there issues that businesses face here in this part of the state that maybe aren't faced in the same way kind of north of the Gila?
That's a good question.
Yeah. And how does that perspective help you in your role?
Yeah. So if you know me or my background, you know, I also just ran for Congress in 2018 in this region. And I bring that up because I spent a lot of time in Cochise County, and certainly spent a lot of time at my former role at the chamber in the Santa Cruz County. And I'll tell you, in Southern Arizona, I see a real rural versus urban split. I see challenges being faced in our rural communities that we kind of take for granted or don't realize in urban. And I'm saying that because in Maricopa County, I don't feel that as much. There's very little unincorporated county in Maricopa County. And a lot of the communities surrounding the valley are more bedroom communities. That makes sense. The suburbs, as compared to Douglas and Wilcox to Tucson, as you can imagine. I attended an event just recently in Pinal County where we had, I think it was 7 town managers, all from Pinal County, on this speaking about the future economy. And they were very positive and really saw continued growth trends and talked about their dependency on the Phoenix Valley, of course, and home building and so on. As compared to here, you don't often see that direct connection, whether it's a large business coming into the Tucson area and how does that impact Wilcox or Benson or Douglas or Nogales and so on. So I think there is a different in doing business in Southern Arizona versus kind of Central Arizona. In terms of getting started, I also think there's a difference in resources. So it's one of the reasons back in the day our Tucson Hispanic Chamber launched into different communities, Douglas, Sierra Vista, Nogales, and so on, because I think entrepreneurs and business owners needed additional resources in some of those regions. The more resources, the better. I see a lot of those already established in the Phoenix areas. I'm spending more and more time up there in my role as a commissioner. And I think with more than 60 chambers in our state, that often shocks people, 60, 6-0, we need to do all we can to support our chambers of commerce and other business organizations that are ultimately those that are speaking directly to the business owners.
Leah Marquez Peterson Marty called in on our live line. He used 790-2040 as the number to get on the show, and you can too if you're listening. Marty, you have a question for the commissioner. Thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you. Leah, I wanted to remind you of other responsibilities of the Corporation Commission, which I think are very, very important these days. Pipeline safety and railroad safety.
Absolutely.
You know, you inspect the switches and the tracks and all the pipelines, all these gas pipelines crisscrossing the state of Arizona and so forth. And some of these are getting kind of old. And the Corporation Commission is responsible for inspecting these and making sure that they're deemed safe.
No, absolutely, Marty. You're right on. And in addition to that, we have a securities division. We actually monitor and regulate the financial transactions, and we see a number of those issues every agenda as we move forward. So I think what most people are surprised in regards to the role of the Arizona Corporation Commission is just how broad the scope is. People don't realize the number of ways in which we're touching their lives or their families every day beyond utility and energy expense, which they hear often about. But you're right, railroads and pipelines are vitally important. And as I've met with mayors and councils throughout the state, those are often the issues they're speaking to me about.
In Arizona, it's legislative, executive, judicial, and the Corporation Commission. You're the fourth branch of government in the state of Arizona.
Absolutely.
And that's how it's set up here. And you know, it's a very important job that the Corporation Commission does.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for being aware of that.
Okay, Leah, I used to work for him years
ago. Oh, so you know, he worked there. Great, you need to call me offline. We can talk more.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Marty, I appreciate the call. Leah Marquez Peterson, I say this a lot on the air, the main difference between doing what we're doing now and me doing a podcast in my closet somewhere in my house is that.
Yeah.
Is the opportunity to talk to people who have knowledge and experience and expertise who call in on our live line and just bring so much to the conversation in real time. That's why I do this show. And as someone who is in, you know, public service and public office, it's value to you as well. Let's, just the way that it worked, let's go to a little bit of an early break. When we come back, we will finish out the hour with Leah Marquez Peterson. A couple of big issues related to the ACC within the last couple of weeks, one of which is a potential new disconnect policy that will help people when it's really, really cold or really, really hot. We'll talk about that and more. And also, this is the segment I give away two tickets to Arizona Wildcats versus NAU football game this weekend. So stick around to the end of the hour, Tucson. We'll be right back on 1030 The Voice. Tucson, welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. This is the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice. In a few minutes, I will be giving away tickets to the Wildcats football game this weekend, but not for a few minutes more, because what is even more of a priority is talking to my guest in studio, Leah Marquez Peterson, Southern Arizona representative on the Arizona Corporation Commission. I wanted to talk to Leah about two things. One is a disconnect policy that is being considered by the commission. And then also some of the issues surrounding what happened a few years ago, way before your time, way before a few of the commission, I would, I believe, time on the commission, but APS donating or money that was donated on behalf of APS, maybe you can clarify, to ACC candidates a few years ago. It was supposedly resolved by some ethics work, but it was kind of opened up again. So I thought, I have Lee here. I'll talk to you about it. So I'll let you talk about which topic first you want to talk about, but we want to get through those two before we let you go.
No, no problem. So I will say, hot off the press, yesterday, in fact, I drove home late last night, we had a very special meeting with APS CEO Don Brandt and many of his executives. It was a packed house, lots of media, lots of concerned citizens, I will say. And we spoke about the disconnect policy, the moratorium that our Arizona Corporation Commission put in place following the death of an APS customer, and other heat-related illnesses that we heard about. We set in place June 15th through October 15th that there would be no disconnects, and realizing that we needed to set a permanent policy in the future. But what we wanted to talk to APS CEO Don Brandt about was things that had occurred, their current disconnect policies, how they handled customer service, customer complaints. A lot of the questions revolved around there. It got very heated. If you're interested in watching, you can see the videos on Facebook, on the Arizona Corporation Commission Facebook page. We had reporters from the Arizona Republic live tweeting the whole thing, so you could watch word for word kind of what occurred. But it was very interesting. It was an important conversation to have about how things led to this point, what improvements could be made, and what direction the Corporation Commission was dictating to APS and other utilities in the future on how we want customer safety and their service supported. What we found at that event is that we are going to have a follow-up meeting in a couple months where we are going to bring in the new president, Mr. Goldner, who is taking over after Mr. Brandt retires, to come in and talk to us further. The thing that I wanted to point out related to disconnect policy, of course, what we put in place was a moratorium temporary, a reaction to what had occurred and what we needed to put in place right away. And I mentioned this from the dais yesterday. I'm very concerned about bills accruing during this time. You see APS and TEP and others are promoting to the consumers that it's important to pay during this period if you're able, or even a portion of it, so that you're not seeing looming bills come October 16th. Mm-hmm. So I know I've been meeting, and the utilities have been meeting, with a lot of the social service agencies to understand what should we do if people are coming to the table October 16th owing thousands of dollars. And what period of time should they have to pay, and what resources are out there, and so on. So we are going to have another workshop on September 30th that you're welcome to drive up to Phoenix. It'll be held at the Phoenix office, or you can dial in or watch online and weigh in on what you think disconnection policies should be. Should they be by utility? Should they be an overarching goal with individual components by utility? This impacts not just electricity, but water, and could impact gas. So that was the bulk of the meeting. The part that got very politicized, obviously, and was a bit of a media circus yesterday was around the political spending by APS in prior races. My comments related to that were, because a lot of the other commissioners, and you can watch, got into specific details and this dollar amount and that dollar amount. But my point was, I was appointed to the seat by Governor Ducey May 30th. And one of the first actions we took was a code of ethics that the commissioners prior to me had been debating and talking about for quite a while. The code of ethics that I fortunately was able to vote on that first meeting spoke specifically to no utilities funding ACC races, not having utility employees engaged in campaigns. And we all committed to that. We also asked candidates running for the Arizona Corporation Commission, which I am one now in this next upcoming race in November 2020, not to engage with utilities and have utility employees engage in their campaigns. And I think that's important, and that is setting the rules, the line in the sand. Of course, it doesn't stop independent expenditures, which was a lot of the conversation that happened yesterday around APS and others. But I think the commission, both the chairman as well as each of us individually, has spoken about that it's not right, though it may be legal, it's not right to do, to try to influence regulators of your industry. So I think the message was sent very clearly yesterday, that we'll continue to have follow-up conversation. But I want those listening today to realize we have a code of ethics in place we have all sworn to uphold and voted on one of my very first meetings on the ACC.
And as you're looking to continue in that position over the long term, is that the confidence that you want to leave listeners and people that you're talking
Absolutely.
To that you will be independent of
Yeah, that I'm not attempting to be influenced by any industry. One of the things that I've decided to do in my own campaign is to run clean. What that means is that I can only take $5 from folks that are interested in funding my campaign and get signatures for my nomination petition and so on. But this is not running traditional, which means that the maximums are much higher and there's that risk of people influencing you, or people think. But running as a clean candidate means that, this should be very simple, that I am trying to reach out to folks throughout the state as I want to retain this position in the election in November 2020.
Leo Marquez Peterson, I wanted to circle back to the disconnect policy here. Before I do that, here is the word. Go. First caller to call in and give your name to Bob, our producer today, gets two Arizona Wildcats football tickets to the NAU game this weekend. But you have to call 790-2040. The very first caller on the line that calls into 790-2040 gets those tickets. Do not wait. Get on your phone. Give us a call in, and they are yours. Leah, I mentioned this at the beginning of the week because I knew we were going to have you on, and I wanted to mention the news, and it just worked out well. There's a proposal, if I'm correct, on the table to basically when there is a disconnect, that there's a potential disconnect for a customer maybe who's behind or not paying, that there will be, and I'm going to stutter through this because you're the expert, not me, but kind of this idea of you look a week ahead, and if it's a certain temperature or above, then you don't disconnect. And that would be also in the colder season. If it's going to be, I think it was 30 or under, 32 or under, freezing or under,
right. Mm-hmm.
You don't disconnect. Are you at liberty to talk about that specific and clarify anything maybe I got wrong, or kind of what some of the staff is working on at the ACC around this?
Yeah, I think what you've seen up to this point is that utilities have taken upon themselves to determine at what temperature they will not disconnect. Some of them have set policies, we don't disconnect on weekends or holidays or every other Friday or different things of that nature. So that one of the things we're going to be talking about at that September 30th workshop on a permanent disconnect policy is how much of that do we put in place as a commission? Is it a certain temperature, 95 degrees, 100 degrees? By what standard, what organization are we looking at, the National Weather Service or whatever it may be, to determine whether someone cannot be disconnected? There are high heat urgent days, I think the emergency alert days in Phoenix. I hear them often on the radio when I'm up there. And certainly those are days folks aren't disconnected, but what is the threshold? And so that's part of the conversation, absolutely. In the colder areas, up north and so on, they've got that not beneath 32 degrees. Would they be shutting off people? But is that the right number? And, so of course we'll be having folks weigh in, and you've got co-ops, electric co-ops that operate in that area. UNS handles gas up in northern Arizona. You've got a lot of the different water companies and so on. So it impacts so many of folks' lives, and we want to make sure that people are protected and safe. And ultimately, if they are accruing bills, there is a plan in which to pay back what is owed so that it's not a burden to all the different ratepayers within that region.
Leah Marquez Peterson is with us in studio, Arizona Corporation Commissioner, the only one from Southern Arizona. So we like to have you on the program because
I'm happy to do so.
You are representing the listening audience. We're not just Tucson, of course. I was driving to Casa Grande the other day, and I was listening to our station. So we go pretty far north, we go pretty far south, very regional, but as a Southern Arizona region, you're pretty much all we got. So, we want to talk with you and what you are seeing. You mentioned, and it's of course it's been the case for a while. You are going to run for re-election in 2020. If anybody listening, we had some very specific things that we wanted to cover today, and we covered those things. But if anybody listening wants to ask you a question or bring up something that wasn't brought up or ask you something about your campaign or your platform, what's the best way for them to follow up with you and your campaign?
Yeah, if it's an official question, the best way to find me is on the Arizona Corporation Commission website, which is azcc.gov. That's also where you can watch our hearings and workshops. If it's a campaign question, you can find me at voteforlea.com, voteforlea.com. So kind of two different ways there in which to engage. And I did want to mention for official business, I do have a Tucson office that is a commissioner that I'm in several days a week. This has made it easier for communities like Morenci and Sahuarita and others to come meet with me here instead of having to drive all the way to Phoenix, which is what I do a couple days of the week too. So I wanted to make sure folks knew that I was in the state building downtown if they need to meet and talk.
Super. It's you in the office, not staff, right?
Right. There's certainly the whole different protocol in Phoenix. Here, you just get me opening the door and offering you a seat.
In Southern Arizona, it's a big deal. That's why I mentioned it. You get the real Leah Marquez Peterson. Not the staff member. Leah, thank you for being on the air. Tucson, if you were listening and there was something that I didn't ask the commissioner or something that you wished I had, shoot me an email, thecreativecityshow@gmail.com. If you're connected to our Facebook page, message me there. Like I said, I had a few things I wanted to ask the commissioner, but we've got 25 minutes and it's not a lot of time. So what did I miss? What the next time we have the commissioner in, what do we need to be talking about? This is 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. You bring the trust in local listening, and that's something that I want to work for each and every day. So let me know how I can talk about the people and ideas that impact you the most. Bill Buckmaster's coming up at noon in terms of local shows. Lots of great content between now and then. Councilman Kozacik will be on the phone, and then environmental reporter Mitch Tobin will be calling in when Bill Buckmaster jumps on at noon, but stay tuned all throughout. Congratulations to Jim for winning those tickets to the Arizona Wildcats football game versus NAU. We'll close out the week tomorrow with George Hammond, U of A economist, Allison Solomon, executive director of the Metropolitan Pima Alliance. One more time, Leah Marquez Peterson, thank you for your time.
Thanks again, Zach. Appreciate it.
We'll talk soon. Tucson, that does it. We'll see you on Friday. Thanks for talking about people and ideas shaping Tucson's future with me, your host, Zach Yenser, on the Creative City Show. See you soon.